Hey good peeps of Pig City and the Global Village, they call me Bruce, and welcome to Whoop It Up with UMFM, our Summer of 22 mini-series spotlight on the Whoop and Holler Folk Festival. The Whoop and Holler Folk Festival takes place on a beautiful farm just outside of Portage la Prairie, August 27th and 28th. Full details at whoopandholler.com and all socials. Episodes can be found at umfm.com. 101.5 UMFM is a proud media sponsor. Episode number 5, Lisa Marie Serafin. And once you're a Winnipegger, you're always a Winnipegger. She was born in Winnipeg, but now she is living in one of the most beautiful areas of Canada, Gatineau. She's a potter as well. And this will be her first trip to Whoop and Holler. Welcome, Lisa Marie Serafin.
Thanks, Bruce. Nice to be here.
We were talking about a number of things. Well, let's we're going to start right off the bat with your Winnipeg connection. You used to have a show on UMFM. You got to tell us.
I did. I think I started in 2000, which is probably about a year after you had your show, I believe. You started your show in
1999 at CKUW. We're not competitors. We're not competitors. We're comrades in arms.
That's right. So I did a show called Songwriter Circle for a couple of years on Sunday at UMFM. My friend Liz Clayton was part of the station manager, I'm not sure what her title was. Oops. It was a while ago. And she phoned me up one day and she said, you're gonna have a show on UMFM, right, Lisa Marie? To which I said, well, of course I am.
You don't say no to Liz. I know Liz very well. She's a good friend, wonderful person.
Absolutely. She and I have been friends for a really long time. I'm not going to mention how many years, probably 40.
And she's also a volunteer participant at Whoop and Holler.
She is a wonderful person, putting in many, many hours of blood, sweat, and tears. Although probably it's more like happiness, sunshine, and rainbows, where Liz is concerned.
I found your music through Josh. And now that you mention it, I do remember the show, Songwriter Circle. Initially, all I knew about you was that you're a potter. You live in Gatineau, which is one of the most beautiful places on the planet. Josh Wright, our music director, fell in love with your music, had to have you. You must have been passing through. How did you connect with Whoop and Holler?
In, I think it was May of 2019, Liz and I and our friend Darcy went to the Sly Guitar Festival out at Angel and Daryl's farm. And we were staying over at Darcy's place. And at the end of the night, I was in Darcy's living room and I was playing my guitar and singing some songs. And I was entranced by her vaulted ceiling. And I said, wow, this place would make a really fabulous venue for a house concert. So Liz and I started talking, and Darcy too, about a house concert in Winnipeg, because it's my hometown. And then COVID happened, and that whole idea was scrapped for a year. But then in September last year, Liz managed to convince Darcy to have this house concert turn into a backyard concert. And then she invited Linda and Josh from Whoop and Holler to come to the house concert, which is now a backyard concert. And right at the end of my set, the hour-long concert that we did at Darcy and Paul's place, they rushed the stage. And they asked me to play this year at Whoop and Holler. And I was quite shocked because I hadn't even realized that they were the artistic directors of the festival until that moment. And then I said to them, if I can somehow make sense of the travel details from me coming from Quebec to Manitoba, then my answer is yes. And as it would happen, because of the pandemic, I canceled a trip to Winnipeg in August of 2020, it was going to be my mom's 85th birthday at that time, and I wanted to go and celebrate her big milestone birthday with her and my dad. And I was panicked about COVID and nervous about the plane ride and didn't want to bring anything home to my parents to make them sick. So I canceled my trip. And then, of course, I had a voucher that I had to use up within 24 months. And that happens to be this August. So travel was covered. They invited me to come. I said yes. And so myself and Lori McKenzie on guitar will be there.
Talk about Lori McKenzie.
Wow. Well, I didn't know. I knew his name, but I didn't know Lori until I met him to record my album. So we've known each other for over 20 years. We've been working together for just as long. We've co-written songs together. And he played on my record. And he and I have just been really tight, despite the distance between the two of us, for as long as I've known him. From like the moment I met him, I just thought he told me a really hilarious joke, which is visual, unfortunately, so I can't really show it to you or tell it to you because it won't make any sense. But from that moment on, I just thought, oh my God, this guy's sense of humor is amazing. And we were really like compatible in terms of like our musical sensibilities. And he's such a wonderful guitar player. He's my first choice, of course.
He gets such a wonderful sound, like a wonderful, unique sound. We have so many great guitarists, but Lori is one of them. But it's like you can hear that sound that's like, oh yeah, that's Lori, and that's what really makes it stand out for me. I want to ask you about that in particular, like the collaboration. It's and the chemistry. It's much more than taking a great songwriter and singer and a guitar player. There has to be the right chemistry. How do you get all Griselda and find the right potion that is a band or a backing band or a supporting artist?
That's a good question. I think it really comes down to trust and just sort of like an unspoken agreement where like Lori's not just a great guitar player and songwriter, but he's a great band leader. But when he plays with me, he's not the band leader. He's the guitar player, and he kind of, it sounds kind of not nice, but he knows his place. He listens before he plays anything at all. And some people that I've played with have just sort of dove in without really listening and understanding what the feel of the song was. They don't need to know what the lyrics are necessarily, and hopefully they can follow the chord changes. But, you know, there's something about someone who actually stops and listens to what you're doing before they play one single note. And so oftentimes he would listen to like a full verse and part of a chorus before he'd play anything at all. And not all the time, because now we're more practiced, but just in the beginning, you know what I mean? Like even on stage where he's never heard a song before and I just throw something at him, he's a listener, and then he understands the song and knows what to do after that.
Oh, I know that very well. I mean, this interview isn't about me or anything, but an anecdote to emphasize that. Years ago when I was at the Winnipeg Folk Festival and Greg McPherson was playing at a workshop with Mae Moore. Oh my God, what a wonderful human being. But he said, I'm going to play a new song for everybody. And the band listened to the first verse and chorus. Yep. And then when he got to the second verse, they jumped in with such a bang that he turned his head. And it was magic. And so,
right?
So, yeah, just a little anecdote to emphasize your point. Tell us about your music. How do you describe it?
I think it straddles a couple of lines between folk and Americana. And I don't know. I don't really want to call it country. Some people have. Some people have called the album country, and some people think it's more folk. So Americana was a really good label for my music, I think.
Are there any artists that are similar? You go like, yeah, if you... my favorite term in music is recommended if you like. So Lisa Marie Serafin recommended, if you like, which artist would you recommend?
Oh, God. I don't know. I could tell you which artist I wouldn't recommend.
Fair enough. I can't.
I don't know. That's such a hard question to answer. I don't often compare myself to other people. Maybe, like when I was younger and playing cover tunes, I remember people approaching the band I was with at the time and saying, "You sound just like Pat Benatar. You sound just like Janis Joplin. You sound just like Jennifer Warren. You sound just like Joni Mitchell." It's like, well, I guess I must be a really good imitator, because I don't think I sound like any of them, but I can cover them. So I think it's more like a vibe. Like, I get the vibe from the singer when I'm doing a cover tune, and then I let that take the lead. But when I'm writing my own songs, I hope I sound like myself. But I was greatly influenced by Joni Mitchell and that break in her voice. And then when I started listening to country music and Hank Williams and Patsy Cline, which was a little bit later in my life, I started to notice this little break in their voices too, and it turned into yodeling sometimes. And I really got interested in that type of effect, I guess you could call it. You know, and so it sort of carried itself a lot into my music, but I think more on the folky side, less on the country yodeling bluegrass type of side. Although I do like a good bluegrass tune, and I love to yodel.
Are we going to get some yodeling?
No.
You love to yodel, but you won't.
It's very loud.
How do you experience a festival when you're performing? Do you go in, you know, I've got to give the best I can and treat it as a job per se? Or do you like to catch the atmosphere of the festival and absorb it before or after your performance?
B, definitely B. I like to go in and my intention actually is to go on, I play on Sunday. But my intention is to go on Saturday and soak up some festival vibes and see what it is all about, because I've not been to Whoopenholler. So I'm very much looking forward to it and all the artists that are on the roster. So that's going to be the way I do it this year. I have played other festivals where I've just gone in and done my set and then hung out after. So this time I think I'm going to go hang out first. And I think I'm going to have a strong contingency of friends there, too. And that's my main reason for wanting to be there for both days, is because I want to see my buddies. I want to see my pals. I haven't seen my girlfriends for, like, over a year. So it's going to be really great.
And I can't think of a better venue for it. Lisa Marie Serafin, thank you ever so much for your time today.
You're very welcome. Pleasure talking to you, Bruce.
Never been married, even at 33. No sound of children running around. Living on standby and on broken ground. I'm still waiting to hear the starting gun shot. I think I'm ready, but then again, maybe not. I never feel like I am nowhere bound. Just living on standby and on broken ground. Now I'm flying through the canyon. I'm in a place I dare to call my own. My spirit sings in a mother tongue. Child, this is magic. You are living a milestone. might be three walls, baby. Maybe there ain't no floor. I am not leaving till every seam is sewn. Cause this is magic. I am living a milestone.
And thank you for tuning in to Whoop It Up with UMFM. Check out all episodes at umfm.com, all details about the festival at whoopandholler.com, and please do join us August 27th and 28th. Until we meet again, be good, have fun, stay motivated.